Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love. This October 20th, 2012. Today we're going to be doing an interview with Therese Emmanuel Gray, and she's one of the co-authors of the book, The 2012 Spiritual Shift. Been reading the book, and I've been actually talking about the concept of this shift, the big shift, a shift in energy, something going on here into 12/21/2012. Last several shows, actually this last year, I've had quite a few authors speaking about what is going to be going on, something big happening from a lot of different perspectives, the Mayan calendar people, what's going on with my understanding of galactic alignment with the surge in the source field, other speakers talking about what's going on with this planetary system called Nibiru Planet X, or dozens of other names throughout history that is coming in about the same time, and I'm getting a lot of information on that recently, and the electromagnetics, how that will be affecting consciousness, the Earth grids, been talking about that quite often. Now, most specifically, I keep referencing in writings those who are on my email list, I've been referencing different writings regarding the energetic field, the source field, and what's going on energetically in a general sense that will be affecting consciousness and a consciousness shift. So I've been addressing that with the understanding of the quantum field. And the quantum field is sometimes referred to as the cloud. I'm in the mysteries, there are different organizations that have this ritual of the cloud and how you magnify the field, the quantum field, and create or somehow actualize, and there's visualizations, there's meditations, concentrations, all for integration of this understanding of this quantum field and how you can create this field around you. And there's different disciplines, again, related to how this can, create a presence or create a relationship with the presence, to involve and evolve our, one's individual and group set and group collective consciousness. So this conscious evolution thing is seems to be the buzz from multiple perspectives in towards zero point at 12/21/2012. Zero point is Greg Braden talks about it. Zero point is Terrence McKenna talks about it. Had a lot of videos I put up on my blog recently regarding the zero point phenomena into 2012. And again, we're talking about a surge in the source field, the energetic field, to where the rate of accelerating change will be picking up to a point where in the collective consciousness there is ordained to be some kind of major buzz. I mean, serious. We're talking serious buzz here. And I'm getting this from multiple perspectives. Terrence McKenna, scientifically, the research that they've had on it with all kinds of computer models regarding the rate of accelerating change in civilization the last 100 years. Of course, the Mayan calendar takes this rate of acceleration back for thousands of years. But other models, including remote viewers of the military, they hit this wall in 12/21/2012, and they can't go beyond it. And other people that are viewing the field with secret government projects, there's I've been reading about that. They've had this time window and time research, where they also go into the future, but they hit the wall in 12/21/2012, the end of time as we have known it. So there's been a lot of buzz on this, and this book, The 2012 Spiritual Shift, was actually published back in 2010, and by Sirius Consulting. Which, so the book is extremely prescient, the way it's really nailing this date and going into an understanding of the stream of consciousness, which, you know, I understand is this rate of accelerating change is like the rate of accelerating consciousness. Our perception of linear time as we understand it is going nonlinear, and that the rate of a change in this regard, the rate of it going nonlinear, has been going on, but it's going exponential into this last 8 weeks towards 12/21/2012. And it's kind of like if you think of a river that's approaching a waterfall, and it's the water is going faster and faster, and then hits the waterfall, which I believe is going to be largely like this nonlinear perception, as I understand it, in 12/21/2012. And our linear frames of reference don't deal with nonlinear perception too well. But if you imagine that water going faster and faster and going over the waterfall, I'm dropping a few thousand feet. You're like free fall. Nonlinear. Some of it's vaporizing and going off into the air, and some of it's going down into the still water pool below. And there's an understanding of what goes on when consciousness goes nonlinear that I have on one of my recent websites. Nonlinear perception is the subject. And I go into in that blog, I go into specifically from multiple perspectives what we can expect with nonlinear perception, which, again, is difficult for the linear, you know, 3D mind to conceive, believe, or otherwise achieve. But a form of effective sensory perception, it's not ESP as extrasensory perception, because there's nothing extra about it when you've got it. It's an awareness of how we are conscious, or a consciousness of how we are conscious, that may be understood as conscience. Fully present conscience. There's other metaphors, you know, the I am presence, the presence of a conscience that is fully present, you might say. So this is brings us to the subject of this book. I want to go into it now, and we're talking about A Timeless Teaching for Our Time, the 2012 Spiritual Shift, 12 Lessons from the Etheric Retreats by Carolyn Hansky, Brian, and Therese Emmanuel Gray. We have Therese on the show today. Therese, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you, Christopher. I'm so glad to be on the show, and I'm really looking forward to talking about this book and talking about some of the more recent awarenesses that we've also been having relating to this upcoming event that's on the screen of everyone's consciousness.
Well, thank you, Therese, for being with us here today. I'm grateful to have you. I didn't string you out too long. Some people tune in a little bit late to the show; they don't get right at the turn of the hour. So, kind of make an ID break right now. This I'm Christopher Rudy. This is Cosmic Love, and I'm interviewing Therese Emmanuel Gray for this show, October 20th, 2012, and we're discussing her book, The 2012 Spiritual Shift. And did you mostly write this book, Therese? I know you did it with Carolyn and Brian. How did this collaboration work?
I did most of the writing on the book, and a lot of the material came from a variety of sources, and some of them were some of the experiences and teachings that we had brought forth in our weekly classes. We have study groups and teachings online where we get together, and Brian, my husband, brings forth certain teachings, and Caroline brings forth certain teachings, and I bring forth teachings and others as well. And so we meet every week, and there was a cycle there where we had more teaching on this particular event. Now, this was almost 3 years ago, and so it was interesting at the time to have this teaching, and I felt compelled that it needed to be put into writing and put into a form where people could be prepared for it. What sets our book apart a little bit is that in regards to what my husband Brian specifically was shown about this event, is that this, in a sense, is a beginning. And so there is a following to it. It's not an end of the world or even an... It's like a transformation. It's like going through the birth canal. And so, in a sense, what we were understanding from this is that there is going to be a more coming afterwards, but that there will be a transformation. It's like there's a definite set transforming initiation coming, and then there will be a continuation. And so it was interesting when Brian, for example, talked about it, he also mentioned it a little bit like when each year you go through solstice, for example, winter solstice, and every day it gets gradually darker and darker until you hit solstice, and then it gets gradually lighter and lighter. And his sense was that this may have that kind of an effect, where it's not like an overnight giant shift, but that it's almost like we hit the bottom of the V. We've had other experiences since, and I personally have had several dream experiences or retreat experiences where I was given specific teaching on this time and this particular event, and my sense is that there will be a marked event. And Brian was actually also shown years ago this wave of light coming that he was given the way that it was described to him, where the numbers 642, and we've often wondered what those numbers mean, but it's this idea of this wave coming, and when the wave passes over us, it's almost like a tsunami, and we don't know yet how it will affect each one's consciousness. And so we've had different experiences relating to this time. We personally don't believe it's the end, but that it's like a corridor or a passing through. In a recent teaching that Brian gave, he talked about how there is an acceleration of time already, and that following this event, the time is going to be so accelerated or different that this may explain why the Mayan calendar stopped, that it wasn't the stopping of say the continuity of life here, but that, you know, in terms of a major catastrophic event, but that it was that the time was going to have a different pulse, a different sequence, and that it could no longer be tracked according to the same way that it has been tracked up to this point. If it's okay with you, I'd like to share a couple of the etheric retreat or dream experiences I've had in the last 6 months about this too, so that we can put it in that frame of reference as well, if that's all right, Christopher.
Oh, I'd love it if you did, and I just wanted to contextualize that concept that you gave of the being a tsunami of light, because the scientists are referring to it, different scientists are referring to it as a galactic superwave. That is a function of the galactic alignment, and I've talked about this in other shows. As far as our solar system is orbiting up and across the galactic plane of hundreds of billions of star systems, in alignment with the Great Central Sun, which happens, as you say in your book, every 25,800 years, and that this surge of light with this alignment, this is a principle well known in astrology, when there's an alignment, there's a convergence and a synergy of energies, and we're talking in this case about hundreds of billions of star systems with the sun of our star, and that this is what will reboot the fields, the quantum field. You know, the energy field from an atomic level to a galactic level. There's this quantum field called the source field, that has at the heart of each of them has a torus field, which is like the black hole, white hole, W-H-O-L-E, that's all connected on an instant, everywhere, interactive basis, on all torus fields within torus field. You know, the heart's a torus field. The auric field around the body is a torus field. But they're all an instant, everywhere interactive connection to the torus fields on an atomic level. To all the galaxies have a torus field, like our great central sun has a giant torus field at the center of our galaxy. Anyway, it's all connected in the field, the source field, in an instant, everywhere interactive, light source, God, love, divine, source. And this is what I understand the tsunami, when you refer to that, it's just like triggered, well, yeah, that's the galactic superwave. This is, and I don't know for sure, but, what this is going to be like, but if you could share some of your experiences, or to give us some more insight on that, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, it's interesting because I've been prepared in different of these etheric events, and we haven't been told exactly when. I'm assuming it's going to happen on this date of December 21st, 2012. Brian has a sense, too, that this is a very key date and that it's no coincidence that it was, that it all lines up at that time. Nevertheless, I can't say that I was given a specific date, and as a result, though I did have that sense that it was an imminent shift coming and that we were preparing for it, and so sometimes, events happen in one moment, and sometimes they happen over a cycle, and so I'm a little bit careful sometimes in assigning a specific date. I mean, we've been through Y2K, we've been through all of these different things, and there's always been this sense of, oh, well, it didn't happen when it was the prophesied date. And so, of course, there's maybe a certain reluctance to saying, for sure it's this date. And yet, I do believe that there is something significant with this date. Now, over the years, I've had ongoing, recurring dreams of this tsunami coming, a wave coming. And I have to say that in these dreams, it was not always a pleasant experience. I mean, it did seem to generate a certain level of panic among a lot of people, and just like any tsunami would. Now, I remember a dream about, I would say maybe in the last year, maybe 8 months ago, 10 months ago. I remember clearly being in the retreats working with a group of people and an ascended being. Now, we know that our soul has the opportunity to go to the retreats of the heaven world at night during sleep. It's like the soul leaves the body and we can get tutored on inner levels, just like people get tutored after their physical body makes that transition called death. Now, we can make the call every night, say a prayer before going to bed, to go to these retreats in the heaven world. In the Bible, they've also been called the New Jerusalem, and to be tutored there by beings of light, ascended masters, angels, and even brothers and sisters who are of greater attainment, and to retain a certain level of soul awareness or consciousness. Now, a lot of us do this every night, but don't necessarily remember because there's that veil of forgetfulness that's drawn, and it's simply that we're functioning on a different level of consciousness. We're back into our mental body. We're back into a different frequency, but the soul retains the lesson. And once in a while, you will get this actual conscious remembrance of what took place in the retreats, and this is what I'm referring to. It's not something where I remember every night, but there are specific cases where I will remember either the glyph or the lesson or the teaching, and Brian gets that very often as well. And Brian did have a couple of a near-death experience as a child, and then a couple of out-of-body experiences that tuned his body, his four lower bodies as well, and his etheric body specifically, to be a better vessel to capture those experiences. It's not something that's unique to us. It's something that everyone who is aspiring to God can have this experience, but some of us have done more work with the violet flame and more purification and just simply been on a path that allows us to retain a higher degree of remembrance. And so,
near-death experiences will do that also. Yeah, I've had...
Yes, and I was never alone. Like, it's nothing... there was always a group of people. And so in this one that was maybe 8 to 10 months ago, this being of light was basically telling us not to be afraid, and that it was going to be like like sleeping and waking up, and what we were being, what was being explained was that those who were in alignment with a level of divine consciousness, for them it was going to be like waking up. I mean, every morning you wake up and you know, there's no guarantee you're going to wake up, but you do. And it was like there was going to be a waking up that was similar. But then we were told that for those who were really not in alignment with divine consciousness, it would feel more like a death. And so the thing that we were being told is don't be afraid, that it will be like waking up from a sleep. And that was, and it was a message of comfort, actually, but it did seemed to mark clearly that there was going to be a dividing of the way between the consciousness that's aligned with light and the consciousness that's aligned with darkness. And I believe that that dividing of the way is happening for each individual on a personal level within our own consciousness, because we all know we have the tares and the wheat. And then there are also, it can also be looked at from a larger perspective, where you have individuals who, of their own free will, have elected to really go down the path of materialism and or all forms of perversions of life that don't resonate with the divine. And so it's nothing that anyone can personally judge, but it's one of those things where God is the judge and we can just discern. There's going to be a separating of sorts happening with this event.
I think these analogies, and you've given some exquisite metaphors for this, tares in the wheat and light in the darkness, and I sometimes look at it, the concept of the death of the ego, and the you might say the clearance or the awakening of a soul, a solar awareness, a light body consciousness, and I, even this concept that I used to teach my children with that book on the little me, the ego means I am, but it's like the little me, for a child, for them to understand that, without talking about their ego, that there's the little me and there's the big me. there's like the I am that's the I am that I am, the I am presence, the presence of God, and then there's the little me that's separate from that, that thinks it's the whole, that's all there is, it's all about me kind of a thing, the little me. And that would, a metaphor for this that we're talking about, as I understand it, or another way of saying the same thing, is that it's death of the ego. That little me, and that's, again, it's like going to sleep and waking up. If there is to be, and I think this is actually like you said, it's not all going to be all of a sudden, boom, all for everyone, all the same at 12/21/2012 winter solstice. I think a lot of people are going through this now. I have about 5,500 people on my email list, and when I send out a post, it's like it's the triggering that goes on in the emails that I get back. It's almost like there's an interjection and a projection of everyone's ego, and there's some extremely inspired and even self-correction of of where I'm coming from in my own ego, so to speak. But there's interchange going on. A lot of people are waking up to you might say, the presence of a consciousness or a conscience of a fullness, or a fullness of the presence of a conscientious nature you can say it's a metamorphosis or a transformation of their ego, or you could say it's the death of the ego, but there's definitely something going on, and I think it's picking up. There's the rate of this change is picking up through.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and the thing about it is that we all have multiple streams of consciousness. We have parts of our consciousness that are more aligned with the Christ, or the Christ nature, Christ self. There are parts of our consciousness that are more aligned with the lower self, with the ego, or the dweller, or the not self, and we have, and that would be more linked to the subconscious unconscious, whereas those that are parts that are more linked to our superconscious. And I think that we're at a point in time where every part of our consciousness that can be realigned to God, realigned to our higher self, God is trying to save that through us. And so in this saving of our consciousness, every part of our consciousness that can be converted to a higher way is being given that opportunity in this time. And this is why people are having such difficult challenges in their life and difficult initiations, and everything seems to be so hard and accelerated. And it's because I think that the divine in globally and personally is trying to shift and save as much stream of consciousness as can possibly be saved, because in this coming time, what isn't aligned to that is basically going to have to go down the drain. And I actually had two other experiences where I was shown this going down the drain effect, and one was about midsummer, where I was, we were in this retreat experience again, and we were all waiting for the coming of this being known as the Maha Chohan, who is this basically the embodiment or the representative of the Holy Spirit for the planet. And it was like this waiting for the Holy Spirit to come in a giant measure. And it was interesting because there was Mother Mary in the room holding the balance as the mother, as the divine mother, and also as the materialization of spirit, and as the music, as the music of the spheres. And what we were shown is that the entire planet was intended to go through a choice of whether or not the planet was going to go into the vibration and, let's say, the orbit of the music of the spheres, or go counter to that. And that just as each individual was going to have to make that choice of either going in the pattern of divine music and harmony of life, or counterclockwise into the patterns of anti-life, so the entire planet as a whole was going to have this moment of election. And it was very interesting because I was also shown that back in you know, a long time ago, and we know this from esoteric teaching, that there was a planet called Maldek that was destroyed, and the remnants of Maldek
and Hedron, yeah.
Right, or between Jupiter and Mars. Well, this basically what happened was that planet in that time received a similar kind of choice, and at the planetary level did not elect to go into that higher vibration of the music of the spheres. And what we were basically, it looked like Earth was going to be actually making that election, because there is a planetary intelligence and consciousness that is comprised of and greater than the whole of all of the souls that are attached to this planet. And so it was one of those things where collectively, planetarily, and individually, everyone was going to have to make that choice of either moving in confluence with the music of the spheres, or the vision I got was this going down the drain, just like dirty water that goes down the drain. And so it was very interesting to see that, but there was such a hope in the Holy Spirit coming. And so then, you know, a couple of months later, another experience that I actually put on video as well. And this was a recollection, this was just recent in the last month or so, of what it was going to be like when this wave of light hit. And it was interesting because I was looking outside and the entire atmosphere became almost liquefied, as if you could imagine being, if you're inside a bubble and, you know, and somebody's touching the bubble from the outside, and it's like there's a moving and a liquefying of the atmosphere. Now, we think of the atmosphere around us as being gaseous, and then we think of the Earth and all of this as being physical, the mountains and the buildings and all of that. Well, it was like all of a sudden everything was kind of liquefying, and this this wave of light was going to hit just like a nuclear blast and travel as fast as a nuclear blast. And it was this giant release of energy, of light and energy, and it was a searing energy. And it was interesting because I saw how unprepared even the people who had had this teaching about 2012 were when it actually hit. Like, a lot of people were like, I didn't really believe it was going to happen. And I was one of them that I was kind of taken by surprise. And so people were scrambling in all these different ways. And again, there were those who could align themselves with the energy and embrace the energy and have the energy pass through them and harmonize with that energy were going to fare much better. Others were going to have certain diseases potentially in the physical body where the energy, you know, couldn't go through. I saw clearly that where there was a sector of humanity that was basically going again down in a downward spiral, a downward staircase, like a downward spiral staircase. And then there were other groups that were meeting in the high mountains, small groups that were meeting and that were sustaining that etheric consciousness. And so again, to me, it seems like either we're able to move into that higher superconscious etheric consciousness and become at one with the wave and basically embrace the wave and be the wave, or if we have resistance, then it would manifest as sin, disease, death, degeneration, decay, and a cycle of perdition.
And that reminds me of Dr. David Hawkins' quote, you know, truth is a tsunami, we surf it or we die.
Well, this is the thing. This is absolutely the thing. And so when I had this dream, I thought, oh my goodness, I better put out a video and let people know that at whatever level, this is what I was being shown. Now, of course, every message is subject to the messenger, and so it's going through my own interpretation and psychology and awareness. But I had a sense, it was amazing, after I put out that video, how many people forwarded it to others and how many people emailed me and said,
yeah, I saw
totally
that video. I'm on your list. And matter of fact, I highly recommend that anyone listening, if you're interested in Therese and what they're doing, their activities, that you go to their website. The website, I believe, was headlined on the BBS homepage.
We have goldenageteachings.com, goldenageteachings.com. It gives an overview of everything we do. And then we have a website that's called lightworldwide.net, and that's a community, an online community of spiritual seekers, and we do monthly newsletters, and we have a lot of information there, too. So you can
either go to
lightworldwide.net or goldenageteachings.com, and you will be linked up to all of our work and websites and videos, and we have a lot of teaching out there. So sign up for our newsletter. We do try, to get news out every month or as often as possible, and we are going to be actually having an online retreat right during this cycle, because I figured, well, what better way than to have a group of people coming together to pray together on the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd. Now, it's a funny thing, because for me, I always have a certain intuitive sense of what's coming next, meaning the next year or the next... And if I look back at the last few years of my life, it's like everything has been gearing up for this time. And when I think of next year, for example, 2013, it's a lot more, it's almost like if you were doing a painting, there's just some bare bones.
Wait and see.
It's like it's not clear yet what it's going to be. It's like the scripture that says, we know not yet what it shall be when it shall appear, you know? And so I don't have as strong of a sense of 2013 as I did of 2010, 2011, 2012. And so I also don't have a sense that life is going to end as we know it. But when I think of my own personal projects or I think of what to prepare for ahead, I just get the sense that, you know, there's a curtain closing on December 21st. And then what will open after that is maybe so different that the only preparation I can do is internal. And so we had this, so then a couple days after this dream where we put out this video explaining that it was really important for people not to be, first of all, surprised when it hits, second of all, not to be in a place of panic or resistance, but to try as best, as uncomfortable as it might be, to try to let it pass through and to surrender as much as possible. Now, what was, you know, again, I didn't know when I saw this wave what plane of consciousness it was going to be hitting on, because we know we're functioning here through four lower bodies and four planes of consciousness, etheric or superconscious, mental conscious, water or emotional subconscious, and then unconscious physical. And so I was wondering, well, is this coming through at the etheric level, and is it going to be something that then downloads into the physical more slowly, or is it coming in at on the astral level, on the emotional level, or is it coming on the mental level, or is it coming on the physical level as something that could actually generate, you know, cataclysmic events or blackouts or whatever? And my sense was that to some degree it's going to be coming in on all levels, but how it actually manifests in people's lives, and it's hard to say. So I had a certain ominous sense after this. I was like, oh my goodness, I felt so, again, unprepared, and I could see how much of my ego and unresolved psychology and negativity and whatever aspects of non-resolution with God or rebellion I still had were coming up big time for processing. Yeah. And I thought, you know, this is like so hard, you know. But then, like a couple of days later, I had another dream of the wave, and this time it was like so blissful and something to so look forward to that, again, it reminded me of that dream about a year ago where it was like, have no fear. And so I definitely want to put the message out there that if we're, you know, if we're in God's hands, if we will to be in God's hands, and this is really about when we've been told long ago, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and if we look around at everything that's going on in politics and the entertainment industry and the economy, I mean, all over the place, all over the world, there's so much that is not in alignment with divine consciousness, and yet it has been, we have been told the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and I believe this is it's like a major realignment or a major chiropractic
reboot.
Adjustment, you know, and reboot, and how it will be processed by people, whether it's, you know, again, etheric or mental or emotional or physical or all of it, you know, that this is remains to be seen. And so what I would say is that the more our consciousness is in alignment with our higher self and with the basic virtues of love, compassion, service to life, and selflessness, the more we are going to be able to assimilate the passing through of this wave, and the more that we're in a place of ego and pride and ego, you know, wanting to be in human control of things and negative competition and vanity and all of these different negatives, the more that we will be challenged by it, and it may even hurt. It's like when you go into a sweat lodge, for anybody who's ever been in a sweat lodge, you know, if you go close to the fire, to the hot rocks, you know, you have to let the fire pass through you. You have to let the heat pass through you. If you start saying to yourself, oh my God, it's hot, I can't stand it, can't stand it, can't stand it, well, you can actually even get a burn. In fact, I remember also years ago I did this fire walk where we walked barefoot on these hot coals for I don't know how many yards. It was quite a bit anyway, at least 15 yards of hot coals. And as long as I was in this place of complete surrender and oneness with the fire and the coals, you know, my feet didn't get burned. In fact, it was a blissful experience. I had this blissful energy radiating from my feet afterwards that lasted a long time, and I felt like there was such a transmutation and a blessing with it. But there were some people who were getting really, they had done the fire walk before, they were counselors, and they decided to be kind of, egotistical about it, and were kind of like walking with an attitude on the coals and all that, thinking, you know, we can do this. They didn't have the proper respect or the proper consciousness. Well, they got, their feet got blister burns, you know, and so it's a similar thing. It's like we're either going to be in a place of respect and awe and honor and humility, or we're going to be getting burned. And I think this is coming, and you know, it's likely to be a bigger chunk of it or a bigger experience of it on the 21st, but it's like likely also to be ongoing.
I think it's like a pure intention thing, which is the terms I think. Even myself, I use it too much sometimes. It means a lot to me, but I think of how the world is kind of has been in many regards stuck in negativity. You know, S-I-N, stuck in negativity.
Right.
The
right.
Sin of the world is stuck in negativity, and that includes fear. You know, and fear is the opposite of love, and pure intention of, by, and for love. And I really have this the same sense. I've been getting from a lot of directions, and I try to express it, with this understanding. You talked about the understanding of the harmony of the spheres, and what I refer to, you know, that this coming, this understanding, a wave of harmonic, like harmonic convergence too, or, you know, another harmonic convergence thing where. There's a harmonic resonance with this tsunami, super wave, whatever, on, you know, that's coming to a crescendo, call it zero point or whatever, on December 21st, and that there is, there's a resonance there, a harmonic resonance that, if you're not in resonance with it, if you're stuck in negativity, it's going to be, the stuckness is going to get burnt big time. And
right.
my understanding of this etheric fire, which is sometimes referred to as the fifth element, the Mayans and others, that all the other elements, you know, the fire, air, water, and earth, and or the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical, you know, the alchemically, or you know, these four sides of the pyramid of self and civilization, you know. Government, education, healthcare, and the economy, another way of referencing it with civilization. But those who are listening, some of you may know that Therese and Brian do these workshops, on the interfamily archetypes. As a matter of fact, Therese, I think I had you on the show here about 2 years ago on the interfamily archetypes.
That's right. I was on, we talked about the interfamily archetypes.
And it's really, when I, you know, it's I would consider it, I consider it advanced psychology of the soul or of the psyche. Actually, it's ancient alchemy principles as relate to the four lower bodies, the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. You might say the fire, air, water, and earth components to the capstone, which I understand as etheric fire, and that this is the fire, the etheric fire. Like at the last time there was galactic alignment with the galactic plane, which is happens twice every 25,800 years. The last time was back at the time of Atlantis. Now, I'm not saying whether that was the rise of Atlantis or the fall of Atlantis, but about 12,000 years ago, and when there was a surge, and that there was this etheric fire that was, you know, responsible for the rise of the civilization, the accelerated rise to a point of its peak. Personally, I believe the next 2,000 years is going to be a peaking cycle. You know, where the dispensation, Aquarian dispensation of freedom in love, you know, a cosmic love, you know, universal source connection love, and then we're going to get a taste of what that's all about here on December 21st. That's the way I've been reading it.
It's very possible and likely, and I sure look forward to it and hope so, because we desperately need it as a planet, and even personally, I think people have been going through very challenging cycles. Many people have for a while now, and it would be nice to have that refresh, that reboot. We're aware too that on the planet there are all of these different levels of consciousness, and there are a number of souls that are evolving out of body. Either they are not in embodiment at all, or at night while their bodies are sleeping, they're evolving in the etheric cities around the planet and etheric retreats that are, and so there's a whole other level of the planet that is functioning, where people consciousness is, you know, people are conscious and they're learning and all of that, even though they don't have physical bodies that we can see, in these higher temples and in these higher places. Now the entire planet is intended to manifest this consciousness, and this is what was foretold in the Book of Revelation with the New Jerusalem descending, and we are intended to have this consciousness crystallizing here. There was a very interesting teaching that was given through Elizabeth Clare Prophet by a being or master called Zarathustra. He was actually embodied on Earth as the teacher Zarathustra of Zoroastrianism, and he gave a teaching about how the planet was going to have this choice in this time, and that if we are able to resonate physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually with the consciousness that is abiding in the etheric retreats, which is basically the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If we can have that consciousness and anchor that etheric consciousness, then life can be saved on this planet at the biological level. Otherwise, it's possible that life could be extinguished at the physical level, and that there could be a continuation of life on other planes. Now, we know from the esoteric literature, metaphysical literature, that there are civilizations going on Venus and other planets, Mercury and so forth, and they're not physical. They're happening on the etheric planes of consciousness, but life biologically was destroyed at the physical level because in this shift they were not able to actually sustain it biologically. And Earth, the divine plan is for Earth to sustain this shift and hopefully integrate it biologically through our own consciousness, so that there can be a deeper integration on the physical plane of this etheric New Jerusalem coming. And so this is a very important initiation that's happening for each of us individually and for the planet as a whole. And I believe it is God's will for it to happen at a biological level, that there can be this anchoring through our personal human free will of the virtues of the heaven world into our daily expression, and then this will also have its impact on the ecosystem, on all life forms, animals and so birds and so forth, you know, creatures of the sea. And so this would be the ideal manifestation. But we've also been told, you know, if we look at the record of the sinking of Lemuria, of Atlantis and the flood of Noah, you know, there was that record in the Bible that the next time that the earth would be destroyed through fire. And so we have to understand, what does this fire mean? And could it be a physical fire? Or could it be, or is it
etheric
the super
fire.
Etheric fire, right? And the super etheric fire is just as dramatic and singeing. We have in the Bible the story of the children who walk through the fiery furnace, right? Let's see, it's Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I can never say that word very well, but that name very well. I keep practicing. Anyway, they walk through the fiery furnace, right? And they are unscathed, and there's a master walking with them. And we believe that was Enoch. Now, we also know that in the New Testament, there have been the writings where they talk about how, for example, St. Paul talks about every man's work being tried by fire, the fire trying every man's work of which sort it is. And so this fire is coming, and this fire does try our works, and that which is, and it's like if you put a clay vessel into, like pottery, and you put it into a kiln, right? If it's something that can be made permanent. Once it goes through the kiln, it comes out, and it's a permanent piece of pottery. You know, you can wash it, you can put it through the dishwasher, it's not going to... So the fire can literally crystallize and make permanent the work that's good, that's of God, that's divine, that's like the fire, that vibrates in consonance with it. But the work that is not of that vibration basically gets consumed. And this is the action of the Holy Spirit. It is the action of the girl child. I was just going to say it's the action of the Shiva aspect of divinity, where God either is trying to seek to save the seemingly unsavable, trying to have every part of our consciousness that can be redeemed in this time, and that which absolutely will not bend the knee to Christ and to the Christ consciousness, in whatever understanding you have of that, will then basically be consumed, be dissolved, and be burned up, because it can't continue to perpetuate on a higher frequency, on this level of the super etheric. So that, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just wanted to get this idea all the way through.
Well, my understanding is the same process in a different way. This etheric fire, but I understand it's surging, in the quantum field, the surge in the source field, is etheric fire. It, of course, is the energetic field behind the physical, behind, you might say, the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical, the four lower bodies, and it is in a sense, when I say the capstone, it is the fire. That etheric fire that feeds the physical fire, the mental fire, the emotional fire, and the physical energy of and the physical infrastructure of the genetics of the DNA of the cells, and that they now know that all that can be transmuted. The DNA is like a tuning fork for not just the resonant field of the within the body, but the tuning fork for universe. For our solar system, it's a tuning fork. It resonates not just with, and they say that we only use like 5% or 3% of our brain. It's like DNA. They're just discovering that most of what we used to think was junk DNA is actually a tuning fork, a resonance factor with the quantum field. In other words, the DNA can morph. It does change. The genetics change according to the field. And if there's a surge in the source field, it can reboot the DNA. It can reboot the genetic structure, which is the blueprint, the crystalline blueprint for the body. And this is what I understand scientifically that's going on. Now, metaphorically, philosophically, or otherwise spiritually, what you were describing to me is the understanding that, yes, the Earth can go through a metamorphosis or a reboot, and it's really exciting. And we only got about 5 minutes left. Therese, I'd really like it if you would finish up and share some of your events that are coming and how people can get in touch with you with your and your book. Anyone could actually just Google the 2012 Spiritual Shift, and it's going to come up and where you can order it. But what would you recommend as far as people getting your books and more information about your organization and what you're doing?
Well, we have a lot of exciting things going on. We've been nurturing this spiritual community online, and like I said, the website for that is lightworldwide.net. We have people all over the world who are on our mailing list, and it is growing each day, each week, each month. We send out a monthly newsletter. We have a number of spiritual websites and psychological websites, but basically, I think they number about 20 now, and there's a tremendous amount of teaching out there that we've put out. We have almost a dozen books now and more coming. We all of these things you can find through the site goldenageteachings.com. That's like our hub site now, goldenageteachings.com. It'll lead you to all of these different sites and projects that we have. And so we do publish books. We try to have retreats here twice a year, Radiant Sherpa retreats we call them, and a lot of them are also online so that people can basically don't have to come out here to Paradise Valley, Montana to do it, but can do it from their home. We have different services that we give from time to time, and we also provide one-on-one counseling and coaching to people. So there's a number of things. Our latest project that we've been working on and that's really exciting is that there's a whole new music coming, and I've had over 30 songs come through in the last month of, you know, music coming from the etheric plane, music coming with a whole new level of consciousness and words, and it's like folk music from a whole with a whole new twist, and and it's very exciting because we know that in the future people will contact God, and more so already, through music, through art, through Teraphim. It won't be so much through preaching and organizations and all of that. It will be through the soul contact with something that moves you. And this, again, has to do with the Holy Spirit. The age of Aquarius is the age of the Holy Spirit. It's the age of the Mother. And so the contact with God is going to happen through the Holy Spirit, and there's no better way to experience that than through sublime forms of music and art and ways of basically filling your consciousness with concepts and sounds that edify life and that are in consonance with the music of the spheres. And so this is a whole new venture. I have a website out there called tohealtheearth.com. where we have a number of songs posted, and we're working on trying to get some CDs created as well with that, and make these songs available in a larger way. And so there's a lot going on, a lot of new teaching coming. It's all about helping people connect to their source, to connect to their higher self, to resolve their psychology, to come into a greater awareness and understanding of the divine self and all of the heavenly beings who reach down to us and try to lift us up into that level of consciousness that we're intended to have and had in the beginning. And so go to see goldenageteachings.com. From there you can find out about all of our books, our retreats, our songs, and everything that we're doing, our counseling and coaching and all. And then I would just like to close with you know, if any of you out there have some pure rose oil, essence of rose, the rose flower, rose is the vibration of the Holy Spirit, the vibration of the girl child, and if you can have some pure undiluted essential oil of rose, you can maybe find it in a co-op or a health food store or online, place a drop of rose oil on your tongue, and you will feel the spiritual fire. You will feel the super etheric fire, and you will experience it through the fragrance of the rose, and that is the fragrance of the Holy Spirit, and just that rose drop on your tongue will help you to understand this entire event that's coming. And
wow.
So I would like to close with that, and I certainly welcome everyone to our work and our word, and look forward to what shall appear, though we know not yet what it shall be.
I'm so grateful that you came on the show today. We've only got about a minute left. I want to thank you for sharing this, and definitely want to keep in touch. I might make the Sherpa retreat. I'm really looking forward to make it sound right along the lines of what I'm looking forward to. So,
wonderful.
God bless
you. Great to have you.
Well, God bless you with your work, and thank you everyone for listening today. Another couple of weeks, we'll be back with Cosmic Love. Happy trails in the meantime. Thanks, Therese. God bless everyone. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Thanks for your good work. Bye-bye.